We cannot let their voices stifle our cause. This political crisis puts our head in their jaws. History is upon us. We've seen this before. We can never allow freedom to exit our shore. Okay. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Trump Chronicle. I'm Ray Brookstein, also known as Ray Ray. The show's namesake comes from two books which I authored, which chronicle the Trump presidency through poetry. About a little over 2 years ago, right on election night, I had an idea that I would chronicle the events of this president. That night is what I call the shock heard round the world, and really has cascaded events that I felt needed to be recorded, almost like a history book. I'm pleased to tell you that the third year is well underway and there's no shortage of material. So at this point, we've passed through the 2018 midterms. The Democrats have taken over the House of Representatives in a majority, and the compass now points to 2020 and another highly crucial presidential election that I think is there to preserve our American values or see the slip away. So the show is really dedicated to a discussion of these events, but also to invite guests from all different walks of life, and on some level have poetry underlie the messages. So today's show is really to talk about the American dream, but I'm really feeling that it's fast becoming an absolute nightmare. We're seeing socialism rear its ugly head, a socialist agenda they're not even hiding it. There's no masking it right now. It's literally right up in our faces. We've seen shocking events lately, such as the New York State Legislature legalizing late-term abortion. We've seen proposals to get tax rates up to 90%, reminding me of the Beatles song written by Harrison, known as the Taxman. I'm sure we all remember that. We've seen pre-dawn FBI raids that really threaten our Fourth Amendment reasonable search and seizure. I didn't see anything really seized. They already had the information. And then finally, we see the election of congressmen and women to very highly sought after committee seats, and with some very shocking racist hyperbole that really shocks the psyche. So today I'd like to tell you a little about our three guests. Kathy Long, known as Jallycat throughout the social media landscape, is an aspiring writer for All Things Truth. She is a strong advocate for seeking fact before feeling. Arnetta Notkin lives in the greater Los Angeles area, with 30 years experience working Wall Street as an investment advisor and a certified financial planner. She spent the last 8 years surrounded by progressive elites, and thank goodness she survived. Dan Herron is a prominent private investigator, former federal Leo, and a keen observer of people in politics. He claims he's not as mean as he sounds on Twitter, so we'll see about that, Dan. To get us started, I wanted to read a poem that I wrote recently called No More White Picket Fences. I could swear it was real. There was sweat on my brow. It jolted me out of my sleep. We've lost it somehow. A troubling nightmare. No more American flags. Statues all lifted right down to their pads. Walmart was shuttered, dull with the malls, people all wearing head coverings and shawls. No more white picket fences, can't smell baked apple pies. No more churches with steeples, with people inside. Banks, some names I could hardly recognize. Globalist something, oh, even surprised. Clinics and doctors, advertising with pride, arrow pointing shingles, this way to infanticide. The best of America had been hung out to dry. Nothing is left but a salt track of a tear from my eye. It really is a nightmare that we're living, and I want to ask our participants if they agree with that. Are we living a nightmare, or what is going on? Let me throw it open to Jolly Cat Kathy.
Absolutely, and to me it has to do with the global elite trying to force socialism on everyone, which has to do with absolute control. Because if they control everything from what we hear and see, then they win with getting whatever they want.
And Dan, are we living a nightmare?
Well, I think that's a complex question. I have a kind of a an interesting dichotomy of feelings here. It's twofold, and I think you guys will probably, I may be wrong, but you'll probably agree with me. I think that we're in a terrible fight now. It's for a fight for the soul of not just the country, but, you know, so goes America, so goes the world. So really a fight for the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I agree totally with Jolly Cat. This all goes back to globalist mentality. And on the other hand, I'm encouraged because I was so concerned in the second term of Obama that I actually began to seriously research living outside the United States, because I felt like if Hillary Clinton was elected, that the country would essentially fall into disrepair, socialist nightmare, whatever you want to call it. We all know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't want to get too far off track with that. That's preaching to the choir, not just you guys, but I'm sure with your audience. But I'm encouraged by the fact that I never thought in my lifetime, much less in a period of 2 years, that you would see the media and the globalists exposed the way they are now. Just the fact that fake news is now a term that just about anybody, particularly young people, surprisingly, if you talk to them, is very aware of now. You know, of course, on Twitter, the term that's used a lot is normies. And unfortunately, the normies are for the most part, in most societies, they might as well be walking around like Sarah Bullock in Bird Box with a blindfold on. But a significant portion of normies now are starting to figure this out. And I think that's why you're seeing terror from the left. They've been able to have their way for decades now. I mean, this really, I think, it goes back a long way, but you can really see it accelerate with the 60s. And they've really had their way. And, of course, another point that I don't want to get too far off track, but I think, again, you guys, I'm preaching to the choir, and this is for a whole nother show, right, for another topic.
Absolutely.
The GOP has been fighting this milquetoast pretend battle with the Democratic Party and the globalists for years. In fact, the globalists infected both parties to the point that they became the uniparty until the last year. Now, I think you're actually seeing the left break from the globalists and just become straight up radicals. You know, it's like the globalists are almost losing them now, because when you have Wall Street, and Arnetta, you could speak on this.
Yes,
you have Wall Street.
I do want to throw it over to Arnetta on that very point. Arnetta, you've been living basically in the shadow or under the shadow of Hollywood for several years.
Yeah.
I mean, it must be very difficult for you to just be able to be yourself.
Well, it has been, yes. I've resigned from boards and withdrawn from social connections, particularly after President Trump was elected in 2000. Before, when you won the primary, then it became pretty vicious. You were almost afraid to tell someone, or my friends were. I am rather outspoken, so it didn't bother me. But to speak to Dan and Kathy brought up two issues that I sort of touches what my hot button is, and I think Ray. What we were talking about was the election integrity, and I'm going to get off of that a little bit to just say everything, every subject that you have, Dan and Kathy both, have touched on, to me, is part of the agenda that we need to be very careful of, that we need to see the large picture, look behind the curtain, see through the smoke and mirrors of the globalists, because progressive elites are still globalists. And this radical rhetoric, actions, everything that you're seeing, to me, is part of a very strategic plan, a masterful strategic plan. They're trying to incite us, and they're trying to pull us into a no-win situation, particularly President Trump going into the primaries. And that speaks to, regardless of whether you're against or for abortions, this has become so radical that they're pulling reactions, inciting reactions from people who believe one thing but can't accept how far this has gone. So they're inciting us to draw us into a trap. And they already have control, total control of our the election process in 15 states and partial in 11. You do the math, that's 26 states. They're going to pass these laws. They are trying to force us to do something, you know, to civil war. You've heard the term thrown out there. But they're silencing our voices. They're wanting to disarm us. And it all has to do with one world governance. So all
Absolutely.
Of this that you're seeing is part of, in my opinion, their strategy.
Yes.
To
Very true.
And I'd like to add to that point, too, Juanita. I believe that part of their strategy is let's go so far to the left, so far that when we come back, we'll actually get where we want to be. I think, you know, if you go so far left, you've got to come back a little bit. So if they go where they really want to be,
I agree.
Then they have to come back even, you know, further.
Very I've always looked at, I'm being from New York, I've been keeping, you know, sort of an eye on Trump for many, many years. And the funny thing is, I always felt he was more centrist. That he's a lot more in the middle than people give him any credit for, but he has to be an opponent. He has to be coming from such a strong position from the standpoint of America first. And they hate it. I mean, I just can't believe that we are in a position where you have to defend being a nationalist. Can you believe that?
No.
That's incredible.
Dan, really, you know, you're a prominent private investigator, and I wanna start opening up a little bit, which will probably feed into our next segment, but it's a pretty good segue. Do you think that the Democrats will ever be investigated and charged?
Well, you know, I get that question a lot, and I think what we're up against here. People, you know, when I had my former show podcast, we talked about this on several occasions. Lay people generally don't understand how entrenched a lot of bureaucrats, particularly in the DOJ, are, because they confuse they don't really understand the way the merit system works. It's not really a merit system in the government, but it essentially functions as the same. The bottom line, they're almost like union workers. It's extremely difficult to fire a federal worker who is not an appointed employee. Now, ironically, most federal law enforcement officers are appointed if they're under the DOJ. That's the umbrella that I came under. But most DOJ employees are not law enforcement officers. That's what the public doesn't understand. I think you've got, it's some staggering amount. It's well over 100,000 employees under the DOJ umbrella. The vast majority of those are essentially merit slash union employees. The federal government does have a union that represents federal employees, and it's an extremely difficult process to get rid of them. Well, for 8 years, they were essentially stacked with socialists and some outright communists. So no matter who the president is, even someone as strong-willed as Trump, you're fighting an incredibly entrenched battle. And it's just like with Obama when Valerie Jarrett, You know, the first Obama term was sort of vanilla, if you recall. I wasn't that frightened then. When Valerie Jarrett, the week after Obama was elected, was quoted as saying, now we get to do what we want. Now the gloves come off. And of course, that second term was it was scorched earth. Well, reverse can be true if Trump is elected and reelected, and they know that. There's not a lot he can do right now.
What's with this 30-day rule that they were talking about, that if the government had stayed past 30 days, that you can start furloughing employees of the government? Is there any truth to that?
You know, I don't know. I was furloughed once when I was with the government, but it was only for a very brief time, nothing like this. I think this is probably the longest furlough where that even became a point of recognition by some of these experts in this bureaucratic legislation and law, so I'm not really sure, but it sounds like it probably did have some validity, but you know, I think that he's going to probably have to declare an emergency to get it built, and I think that's what Democrats want, to sort of get themselves out of the mess they've created for themselves. So I expect, I could be wrong about this, but I expect that he's going to declare an emergency and allocate the funds for the wall. And I think the Democrats are actually going to be relieved, because the radicals that control the agenda in the Democratic Party now will be satisfied. And you got to feed that beast if you're in the DNC now. That's, unfortunately, they've completely muted what few moderate voices are left. And so they have to save face. That's where ironically, isn't it amazing that the biggest donors to the DNC party, the biggest that feed these radicals, are billionaires? I mean, the irony in that, it blows my mind, you know.
Well,
they're the folks causing a lot of this trouble.
On that if you just hold that one thought, on that note, we're just going to take a short break, and we'll pick this up in the next segment. So just let's jump off the bus for a second, and we'll be right back to you.
The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome back. We're going to continue the conversation with our guests, Dan, Kathy, and Arnetta. And I just want to track back to the question that I started with and throw it up to Kathy. Do you ever see that will be investigating a Democrat who gets charged?
Unfortunately, I don't see that for a long time coming. The level of corruption is, to me, doesn't look like it's just on the floor, as they like to say. To me, it looks like the corruption is a spaghetti filled, you know, the floors go everywhere. And when you have that, which is controlled by money, money just corrupts people. Ben Carson, back when Obama was president, him talking about how the goal is, if you silence somebody, you know, then you win, because you can't get your message out. And I believe that's it. I believe that corruption is just so deep. And I just don't ever see a way out of it unless we all become millionaires and nobody has to worry about money. That's why Trump is able to be so successful, because he's sitting in the presidency and he can't be bought.
No.
These people can't come to him and say, hey, here, 10 million here, 10 million there, because he's already got that. So
I mean,
that's why they're running scared.
This guy, the governor of Virginia, it really floored me to find out that the Planned Parenthood had given him up to $2 million. Is it any surprise that he would take this stance? And do you think he's washed up? Arnetta, do you think this guy's going to go?
The progressives are feeding their own. They're also getting rid of the old guard and running in the new guard, because the new guard, even as radical as this Virginia governor is, the new guard is even more owned by the progressives. Dianne Feinstein wasn't even endorsed by the Democrats in California. Mm. It was the younger guy that was endorsed. So is he going to go? I suspect that they'll sacrifice him. I think they'll sacrifice Pelosi at some point. So they are truly looking for young blood that they've recruited to be the next leadership of their socialist, globalist, third world country that we call the United States.
I mean,
I agree with that because the Democrats disguise socialism to people because, unfortunately, in today's time, it's just social media clickbait, which is meant to deceive, mm-hmm. not educate. And mm-hmm. so that's how they go about doing it. These people that follow the Cortez new person in the House, she doesn't know what she's talking about half the time. And the young people following her, and she's got a big audience. They just take her at her word.
She's not to be underestimated.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely exactly right, Dan. She's a distraction.
Yeah, I don't think she should be underestimated at all. And
no.
I think that
no.
And make fun of her and rail mm-hmm. on her. That's all fine.
They need to get off of it.
Serious.
Yeah. Yeah, they actually were giving her too much airtime.
Yeah,
I think we
it's such an uneven playing field, guys. And to me, this boils down to information. And you touched on it, Callie. I know you guys feel the same way. But this is all about getting your message out. And it's getting more and more difficult for us to get our message out. And they know it. You know, one of the head apparatchiks, I don't think it was one of the billionaires that really runs Twitter, but made the comment that they sort of apologized at some sort of Google seminar or something. I don't remember the circumstance, but essentially said, we won't make that mistake again. We let the conservatives run wild on Twitter in 2015 and 2016, and they were able to get their message out, but we'll take care of that after 2016, mm-hmm. make sure it doesn't happen again in 2020. So we all know that's happening right now. If that isn't addressed by Trump and the DOJ and the FCC, like soon, maybe not wait till 2020 after they've committed their massive vote fraud, which is a whole nother thing that needs to be addressed. But if we can get our message out, we're going to win, and they know it because we're cracking the normies. Trump is, I think, his ultimate goal besides making America great, and if he has the full 8 years, is to destroy the media. And I think they know it. I think they take him serious. They laugh at him. But behind the scenes, they're terrified of him. Like you said, Callie, he cannot be bought. And so if we take care of the message and we take care of voter fraud and you start throwing some people in jail, and they have every right to, I mean, they could build case after case on voter fraud. I don't know what they're waiting on. They better get on it.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Who is
None
they?
Of this matters.
Who? Yeah, Dan, who is they? That's the issue. No one is doing anything about it. The GOP is not doing anything about it. Judicial Watch is the only one that has lawsuits. There are some private lawsuits on the voter fraud and election integrity. But no one, even though the DOJ set up district offices to address voter fraud, they've done nothing. Yeah. So the question is, why? And this is what worries me and is the nightmare that Ray wrote about.
Absolutely.
Is we're not going to survive the 2020 election if there is not we the people, whoever it is, if we don't come together, form a grassroots movement, file these lawsuits against voter fraud. There are groups on Twitter that are united that are filing petitions and complaints against activist judges and officials, but we're splintered. We're not united.
Well,
and we don't have a platform to come together to be united.
That is the problem. We don't. The Republicans have done a tremendous job, the everyday American, of getting Trump into the White House. Mm-hmm. And ever since that day, it's been a struggle, but we just don't know what to do. How do we sustain against all odds again? We've got the media.
In my opinion, it's also because we don't have an attorney general. I mean, if we actually had an attorney general that was the Make America Great Again message, or even if that just stood up for what's actually right and just and true, a lot of this wouldn't be happening. But unfortunately, we don't have that right now. And I think if we had an attorney general who really cared, he could get a hold of all of this. Could you think of how many people could be put in their place if we actually had an attorney general that did their job?
Yeah, if there's no message that I get out to an audience, I would like to say this. If there's no other message that I try to highlight, even if we were to get some relief with the social media and the DOJ started filing civil suits like they did against Microsoft, basically Microsoft hasn't been the same since. They could cripple Twitter, and with one civil suit, you don't have to worry about going into the criminal section mm-hmm. of DOJ. The FCC, same thing. Trump could even do some of this through executive orders. Why he hasn't so far, I don't know. But let's say in our utopian dreams that we're on a level playing field with social media, which we're nowhere near on Twitter right now. But none of that matters if you don't address voter fraud. None of it matters.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
right.
we could get our message out and everybody could be, quote, woke. But it doesn't matter if your vote is being stolen. You know?
Dan, nothing.
And right now,
none of the issues matter if we don't have none. Every issue we're facing right now, that's right.
I mean, this is exactly why the left is poo-pooing anything mm-hmm. to do with voter fraud. So
right.
I think we've really come to a nexus that all of this is happening, but without a vote, we're finished. And
that's
if
correct.
Trump loses in 2020, I mean,
we're done.
Dan, I've been thinking about, you know, we always were talking about, you know, the Madonnas and some of the other people that if Trump wins, we're going to move out of the country and all this and that. And now it's flipped the other way. I'm like you, Dan. I'm already thinking, oh, God, if something happens and the Democrats, you know, get back in, and or even Hillary. I mean, I would not even underestimate that Hillary Clinton will get back into this race. If that happens, where can we go? What other countries can we go to?
I mean, I've researched it, and it's not as easy as people think. People just think, oh, I'll just go to Australia. Well, that's
right.
Not as easy as it sounds, trust me.
Yeah.
I mean, really ironic is a lot of these countries you would have to go to have extremely stringent citizenship requirements.
They do.
I mean, the way you get to the front of the line in most of them is by having a significant seven-figure net worth. Even then, it's not simple. I would say, like in Australia, you're going to have to cough up $5 million plus of your assets, and there's a lot of strings attached with those assets. You can't just show a balance sheet from a certified public accountant. You've got to show a certain investment in these countries.
Mm.
I think it's $10 million in Austria, for instance. So it's just incredible that all
it's
these
ironic,
countries
isn't it?
That have socialist governments, for the most part, have these incredible stringent requirements. Like in Austria, you have to pass a language test that is very difficult. No matter, you know, if you contribute $10 million or not, you've got to be able to speak what amounts to fluent German. So here we are in this country where it's just a free-for-all as it is, and they want to make it even worse. That's all they're left with now is refugees and illegals to come in and vote to save them, because the Hispanics are now jumping ship. Blacks are jumping off in record numbers. I think there's panic behind the scenes. I mean, we can crush them. We can get our message out, and we can start prosecuting folks for voter fraud, get judges in who will back up these voter fraud arrests and indictments. You know, the Democrats are clever. They're also stupid in a lot of ways. But the one thing we've got going for us with Democrats and radicals is they always push too far. They just mm-hmm. don't know when to let up. The abortion thing right now is blowing up in their face, because even people who are like sort of on the sidelines with this issue,
absolutely.
Talking about taking a baby out of the womb and that's infanticide and killing. So, that, you know, that's
yeah.
classic. But they're clever in so many ways by calling for, quote, voter integrity. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's nonsense. That's basically saying your citizenship means nothing, and we're going to give your vote
right.
to illegals and refugees. So, anyway.
That's right.
Well,
Dan, there's something I want to just mention about them going too far. it's actually what I believe, and Ray, if I don't have time for this, you can cut me off. Someone made a point the other day that, you know, let's say 50% of people in this country believe in abortion, 50% don't. If this horrifying proposals that they're making, if then people who believe in abortions are going to go one way or the other. And what I believe they're trying to do is entrap Trump to come out and make a statement, as he has, for us conservatives to come out and make a statement. And then they're going to start shouting, well, they're going to do away with Roe versus Wade. And mm-hmm. with that, it's going to then put every Republican candidate is going to have to defend one way or the other. So the people who are independent or libertarians or moderates are going to have to make a choice. And I don't think it's going to be in favor of doing away with Roe versus Wade.
Well, my feeling is this, that I totally agree with what you're saying, Onanetta, that they're trying, and it's the same strategy of dividing us. But mm-hmm. I think this legislation in New York and some other places, as it starts to ricochet around, almost landed in Virginia, right? What was that? They didn't mm-hmm. get it, but it's got to land in the hands of the Supreme Court. They can't avoid it any longer. It's going to land in their lap. So I think it's not so much what we care about anymore, and try not to be cornered, but someone has to sue the state of New York for infanticide. Basically, plain and simple, that if you can't murder somebody outside the womb, how can you murder somebody a minute early inside the womb? It just makes no sense. It makes no sense. And that, to me, has to go to the Supreme Court. I always felt from the very beginning, when he got Kavanaugh on the court, that there was light mm-hmm. at the end of the tunnel. And maybe we should all just step back. I thought about, maybe we'll all make a big march on Washington and this and that. But I don't think it's going to matter. I agree with you.
Yeah. So I hope that it doesn't incite.
And if you look, guys, at some of the stuff that you see on the 4chan boards right now, which a lot of it is nonsense, mm-hmm. but some of it, just as an investigator, after 30 years, it was almost a decade with the feds, but 20 years in the private sector, you get a sixth sense sometimes when you can actually read the truth without seeing body language. I've seen some things mm-hmm. on there that are really, I mean, they're astonishing. Terrifying mm-hmm. if they're true. If the GOP doesn't take off the gloves and stop bringing a slingshot to a gunfight with these Democrats who are ruthless, this is a perfect scenario. Because right now, Ruth Ginsburg, it's my understanding, if you believe some of this stuff, is basically dead. Mm. She's not dead physically. Mm-hmm. She can walk around, but her mental faculties are completely gone. She's mm-hmm. being kept, she's not on life support yet, but they already have a plan in place to put her on life support and try to keep her legally alive just to get across the finish line in 2020. Now, that's terrifying. and it's their worst case scenario. If we can get that last seat, then that gives us a huge advantage.
Absolutely. Well, on that note, we're just going to jump off the bus for a minute and pay some bills and so on and so forth. So just hang in there. We'll be back in a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Okay, we're back. I'm Ray Ray with our guests. We're really discussing the significant kind of pickle we're in when it comes to not just what's happened, but what can we do moving forward. And one of the things I think that's gotten lost in the equation is the financial sector. And I want to ask Arnetta. Arnetta, you've had 30 years of experience in Wall Street. You're a certified financial planner. I want to turn you loose a little on, you know, how does Wall Street figure into all of this? And then I have a general question of how abysmal is the savings rate for the average hardworking American?
Well, the progressive elites, as we call them, you know, the Soroses, the Steyers, all of, if you look at who owns what, it's the gentleman that founded eBay, the LinkedIn, you name it, Twitter, Facebook, they're all very much progressive and part of that progressive elite. Many of them have are in Wall Street, have hedge funds, or they invest in the hedge funds. And manipulation of Wall Street is where most of them made their money and going in and, you know, like Soros did with other countries, which they tore down the government, the elected government, ended up convincing them to maybe utilities private. They invested in the utilities, made a lot of money. So when you look at it and you scratch your head, which is what I was doing, because in this group of progressives, many of them were extremely successful Wall Street men. Mm-hmm. You know, from every firm and or they own their own hedge firm. And I kept thinking, how can someone with that type of financial awareness and background support what will destroy Wall Street? And then when you read more about the process of the manipulation of the markets, that's exactly what they're trying to do, because they're the ones that end up benefiting from destroying Wall Street. They're the ones, just as in the crash, the Great Crash, the Merrill Lynches, the wealthy were the ones that picked up the pieces and became wealthier. Mm-hmm. And that's what they will benefit from it. All of us will be wiped out.
So the average American who's not an investor, what happens to us? We just get swallowed up in it.
We lose it. That's correct.
We're just going to be served, you know.
Yeah, and we the dollar will mean nothing. We will be totally dependent on the government. That's exactly. We lose all of our ability, our health care, which is all part of that. I mean, if you read Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, that's the path that we're headed. But Wall Street crashes, and these progressive billionaires control the wealth. They control Wall Street. It will no longer be a Wall Street that we know as we know it. There won't be a banking system. It'll be the one world bank.
Exactly. And that's what they want. They want under the one control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kathy, I've been following you we've been following each other for about a year. Mm-hmm. And you are very outspoken, for sure. I think anybody that knows you knows that you put together very intense messages almost on a daily basis, sometimes 5-10 times a day. I can't even keep up half the time.
But that's Donald Trump motivation right there.
My question is, have you been shadow banned? Have you been put in Twitter jail, or what we call Twitmo?
Absolutely. More times than I can remember. I used to keep track because I was actually going to get a lawyer and look into that. But I've been shadow banned. I've been suspended for calling somebody an idiot. As opposed to other liberals who literally say they want to kill someone and nothing happens to them. But yes, I've been, and I can tell at times that I'm being censored and my tweets are being hidden because of the number of likes or retweets. So censorship is alive and well on Twitter as well as any social media if you're a conservative, and it goes back to our whole conversation today, which is them controlling the message. If you're speaking truth and you're, if you're getting censored, you're speaking truth. If you're getting censored in any way, you're hitting messages that they don't want you to hit. The censorship on the social media is just getting ridiculous. And so it's all about silencing us as conservatives, because that way, you know, you want to keep the uneducated. You want to keep mm-hmm. people out of the loop of what's really going on, because that's how you control somebody. If somebody knows
right.
the knowledge, you're not able to control them.
So we are, I think it's like a sieve. We're leaking in so many different areas. It's like death by a thousand slits.
Yeah.
I want to turn a little bit in looking, Dan, at some of your resume and your company, your investigative company.
Mm-hmm.
You've become very, you've done some very high profile cases in the call it marijuana and opioid areas.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I took a look at a map of the United States, and the opioid crisis and all this focus on the border with the drugs, it's significant. Yet the border states, you know, they did the shades of like light color to very deep red. Most of the real problem seems to be in the industrial Northeast, let's call it, and into the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the border states, where all of the drugs are coming in, and the Deep South, you know, Mississippi,
mm-hmm.
Alabama, don't seem to be so affected from an opioid standpoint, but this is where all the action is. How do you explain
mm-hmm.
that?
I think the Rust Belt was completely devastated by the globalist agenda to completely gut the manufacturing industry, and a lot of these towns, and you know, I can't really speak so much for the Midwest, except for what I read and from what I see in documentaries and whatnot, but certainly in the Deep South. And I travel all across the country, go out of the country a few times a year, and usually when I'm traveling within the country, it's work-related. So a lot of times I'm boots on the ground. I've got my leg, and, you know, a lot of these clients are wealthy, so I've got and some of these attorney clients are very successful, high-profile attorneys. But on the other hand, I've got my world that's completely different. I've got a leg in the underworld, seedy areas and whatnot, but I get to see America, the big cities, the small towns. And my impression is that you took hope away from these people. You know, a lot
yes.
of times one or two manufacturing companies in a town of 10,000, the culture revolved around those companies entirely. And not necessarily in a bad way. They were very good, as for the most part, for these towns where they paid decent wages, cost of living is low. You take that out, and everybody just has McJobs. And I think that's where a lot of this angst comes from with these younger people that are leaning towards
socialism,
the siren song of socialism.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they don't even realize the irony in that. The globalists are the one who destroyed their lives. They say, well, we never had a chance like boomers. I'm not even going to say the Gen Xers, which I consider myself a part of, because I think felt the impact as well. When you go from having parents that have these jobs or acquaintances that have good pensions, and those evaporate almost overnight, seemingly. And I think it's just a loss of hope. And I think that's exactly what the globalists wanted. And, you know, we're fighting back. I think the big picture here, though, guys, on a positive note, is
that's what I'd like to hear.
Getting out. Yeah, the word is getting out. And you know the old saying from The Exorcist, say the demon screams loudest before he he's relieved from the released from the body or leaves the body of the person who's controlled by the demon. Well, you know, it was all quiet for 8 years during Obama from all these billionaires. Yeah. I didn't even know who P.R. Omidar or whatever his name is, and Tom Steyer. I had no idea those people were, and I have a fair amount of financial acumen, but I'd never heard of them. And now they're being exposed, and I think that they're worried, and they should be worried, and they're panicking. And that's, like I said, the one great thing about radicals, they panic and they go too far every time. So that's our silver lining, is that sort of playing out now. Look, there's nobody better for that office right now to fight this battle
than Donald J. Trump,
a guy who grew up in the most difficult business environment probably in the world, where he had to steel himself with in the New York real estate market has got to be the most ruthless business environment in the world. Where you're fighting the mafia on one hand, you're fighting ruthless competitors, many are who are convicted felons or should be. You're fighting the worst bureaucracy probably left in the civilized world, and New York City politics and the red tape that he had to fight to come out of that environment. It doesn't surprise me that some days he almost seems like, this is not that big of a deal. You know, I've been here. I was born for this. And it drives the
media. He's a fighter.
Doesn't it drive them crazy that they can't get to him? A normal man would have been broken the first month.
Ooh, without a doubt. Yeah. Well, I think
Go ahead. I was going to say, I think also one of the reasons that they hate him so much was, if you remember, in the primaries, he kept saying how many Democrats were voting for him. And I believe in the open primaries is where he made the big wins. But in the closed primaries, he didn't. And part of the strategy was they thought the Democrats convinced the other Democrats to vote for Trump because he was the one that they knew Hillary could beat. And it obviously backfired on them. And then they were furious because they elected a man who ended up winning. It helped elect a man.
Arnetta, funny, and you could enlighten us on this to some degree because of you deal with people with super high net worth or have. Are you watching this thing go down with Howard Schultz, the founder of Starbucks, right now?
Yeah.
They're doing everything they can to they're eating their own right now before our eyes.
Yeah.
They are mortified that he's going to run as an independent, because that's basically the stake in the heart. Trump will win if Howard Schultz gets
any
traction.
I really hope
on that issue, I've heard a lot of talk. I happen to really like to listen to Don Bongino. Mm-hmm. And some of his stuff is tremendous, particularly in the hoax of the Mueller investigation. Mm-hmm. This issue about Howard Schultz is so fascinating, because it's not like he's a Republican. You know, it's not like he would vote for Trump. But he's exposing the socialists for the idiocy of their economics, like of Medicare for all. I mean, I have a 93-year-old mother, and we live in Florida. Thank goodness Dade County has great medical. And when, you know, they start coming out with, like Kamala Harris, we're just going to, there won't be an insurance business anymore. I mean, just imagine Mr. Aetna and Mr. United Healthcare or Mrs., calling up Kamala Harris, then what are you doing? But someone like Schultz can really unmask the lunacy of the left. So it's more about their fear, and I believe it's more about their fear of exposure than him pulling a votes away from the Democrats.
I agree with that. It's almost like if the Democrats are for something, you should be against it. If they're against something, you should be for it.
It's quite understanding. So I'd like to, kind of start to wrap this up, because we've really had a fascinating back and forth. And I guess I'd like to just, talk just for a moment or two about how do we survive this and come out whole, remembering that we did win in 2016. There was over 60-something million people, and we did take the Electoral College. So we do have a leg up, but I've always said it's how do we maintain it and come out whole? I'd like to throw it quickly to each of you in this last part of the segment. Let's start with you, Kathy.
Well, I believe that we just cannot give up. They're going to fight like hell against us, and we just can't give up. We got to keep getting out there, going at it with social media. Even though you might be getting censored, just don't stop, because your 24-hour sensor will be up, and then you'll be able to reach another person. So it's just really important for everyone to keep doing what they're doing. Over the next 2 years, do it even more. And I think it's majorly important for the entire Republican Party to get behind the president. It is very important. This is going to make or break America, and we really need Donald Trump in office for the 2020 election.
Arnetta, same question.
Along the same lines as Kathy just said, but if we don't, we can't depend on the GOP. It's got to be us that unites, organizes. The GOP is a book of math up against the progressive flamethrowers. And we don't do any outreach to millennials. We're not out registering voters on college campuses. We have to do that. We have to start and look as if we are building a new political party, which we really have. We are. We're a constitutional centrist, which is what Trump has created. And we're part of it in this movement. But we need to look at it as starting a business from ground up and reach out, educate, and get the voter rolls. We need to come together and file lawsuits. We need to complain about activist judges without going into the primaries. We have to do something to get the momentum and the voters. And we have to motivate Republicans to get up, get out, get off Twitter, and become
active
boots on the ground.
Absolutely.
I know
I plan on doing that here in Florida.
Yeah.
And I've always been one to
I mean,
be
how
laid
many
back,
of us work
can't.
Pool? Yeah. How many of us have the ability to be a poll watcher? It's a very simple educational process.
Yeah.
Very, very simple. Mm-hmm. And we don't do it. We also need to establish some sort of software, as the Democrats have, the Act Blue, where people can make donations, and it can be sent to another candidate in another state, smaller donations. We don't have anything like that. And
very true.
The Republican Party was pounding their chest that they raised all this money, versus the Democratic, but the DNC wasn't the DNC that was financing all of these midterm elections that they won. It wasn't the DNC. It was the progressives doing direct donations.
And we
need to hold our political office, our congressmen,
accountable.
We need to contact them, not just send them a Twitter. We need to flood their offices with phone calls and letters and hold their feet to the fire.
And Dan, last word on this same question, and then we'll close up.
I'll close up with the final
message.
You guys have covered a lot of ground. I've already talked about voter fraud, which I think is crucial. I'll take a little different tact here and point out, highlight what Steve Bannon talked about right after the election. I mean, within a couple of weeks, if I recall, and I'm paraphrasing here, when he warned people, you think the Democrats are out of control now and are screaming and yelling and putting on this dramatic show, resistance, etc. You haven't seen anything yet. Okay, well, that's exactly right. We're seeing that play out. Just quickly highlight this absolutely absurd quote incident in Chicago with Jesse, whatever his name is, the actor from Empire. What they're trying to do now is they're trying to just like they did with abortion, where they're trying to force Republicans and Trump into a corner, they're doing that with the MAGA hat thing. And, that's the most ludicrous story I've ever heard. Now he refuses to turn over his phone records. What does that tell you? You know, I've never met a victim in my life who would not turn over their phone records in that sort of circumstance.
Well, you know, that's the Chicago
thing.
Police also said that they have him on camera showing up at the building with his Subway sandwich.
The noose was hanging down like a necktie. You know,
right,
so
and
if he
just got beat down by white supremacists,
right.
I don't think they're going to afford an African-American that they just bum-rush and attack the opportunity to eat his Subway sandwich.
But my point is, get ready for more of these incidents. They're going to ratchet them up as 2020 goes along. You know, that guy, this is a quick side note to close that incident out. You know, there's images on Twitter now where he's got his F. Donald, I don't want to use profanity here, shirt on. I mean, it's just an obvious stage thing. It's just that the left is really bad at staging things. They're worse than they are, you know, that supposedly the left can't meme. Well, they can't stage things. They can't stage hoaxes very well either, thank God, even though they're actors.
Goes back to clickbait. You know, it's just something that, let's put this up, young people believe it, there you go.
Well,
let
me just jump in. I just, you know, really want to thank the three of you for the spirited discussion today. And, you know, my mom, 93, once said to me that, "Ray, don't hide your light under a bushel." And it really left an indelible mark on me. And I would just like to thank the three of you for shedding your light on subject. And we have to, because these are very troubled times, but there is hope. So I want to thank you. Love, Ray, and a poem.